Hi, this is Maria Olson. You may know me from Trophy Heads or Starry Eyes and maybe Paranormal Activity 3. And I want to welcome you to Anthony T's Horror Show because it's an awesome show.
Hi, my name is Jessica Cameron, and you're listening to Anthony T's Horror Show.
Hey, fellow horror fans. This is Troy Escamilla, the director of Party Night and Mrs. Claus, and you are listening to Anthony T's Horror Show. Enjoy.
Welcome to another edition of Anthony T's Horror Show. I'm Anthony T. In this edition, I will have not one, but two interviews. As Women in Horror Month draws to an end, next segment, I will be talking with Rokefit Abergel, as we'll talk about her latest short film, Boo, which has been winning awards on the film festival circuit. Then afterwards, I will be talking with Sarah Scoofs. She's an actress who's been in such films as Gut, and most recently, Teresa and Allison, and The Theater of Terror. Then after those interviews, I will finally give you my thoughts on the first trailer for Spiral from the Book of Saw. I was originally supposed to get to it last episode, but never got the chance to do it because, well, yours truly was too fixated on one topic that hijacked episode 39. We won't mention it because we don't want it hijacking episode 40 as well. With that, I'll be back with the first of two interviews this episode. Every day, there's a family struggling with hospital bills to care for their sick child who is fighting an illness. There's a woman who is fighting breast cancer and is having trouble making ends meet while paying for their treatment. And there are burn victims that are going through treatments to heal their deep wounds. There is a charity in the horror community that helps these people. Scares That Care is an organization that helps families deal with the bills for their child. They help women get the treatment they need to fight breast cancer, and they help people who are dealing with severe burns get the help they need to heal. Scares That Care is a 100% volunteer organization and 501c3 nonprofit charity that is dedicated to helping these people in fighting real monsters. To find out more information or to donate to Scares That Care, you can go to www.scaresthatcare.org. Every donation helps Scares That Care fight real monsters. Besides Anthony T's Horror Show, you can also listen to these other fine podcasts on the Doc Discussions Network. Doc Discussions, hosted by Philip Perrone and Michael Darwin. You Know Nothing, Jon Snow, a Game of Thrones podcast. Bullets, Brothels, and Bots, a Westworld podcast. Halloween Boutique, Psychotronic Reviews. And Searching for American Gods. You can find Doc Discussions on the web at www.docdiscussions.com. And Doc Discussions is also available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Welcome back. I'm here with actress, writer, and director Rokefit Abergel to talk about her short film Boo, which has been winning awards on the film festival scene. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What made you want to get into the horror business?
I actually kind of landed in the horror business by accident. I made a film called Jackson Love a couple years ago that I didn't really consider to be a horror, but it turns out that I guess people kind of embraced it as one. And so I feel like the horror business chose me instead of the other way around, which is great because I love it.
Now, since this is Women in Horror Month, what women in horror influenced you?
There are lots of women in horror that influence me now because I've met lots of women directors in the business. Lisa Oviez, who's the director of Puppet Killer, which is another film that's going around now, a feature. She's an incredible inspiration and a good friend now. I know so many great female directors in horror now that I almost hate to like start naming people because I wouldn't be able to list them all.
Fair enough. Your latest film is the short film Boo that has been a favorite on the film festival circuit. Tell everyone about the film.
Sure. Boo is about a girl who is struggling very hard with an addiction and due to some kind of traumatic circumstances, she's forced to lose her sobriety in order to save herself. And that kind of spirals her into a dangerous place to be when you're addicted. And she has to kind of make a decision between who she loves and what she loves.
What made you want to write, direct, and star in this film?
And produce, which is really dumb. I wrote it and I decided that I didn't want to have, somebody else direct it. And I had never really directed a film before, but I thought I can do it with a little bit of help. And so I got a good DP, Alex Griffin. And then of course, my editor, Ned Thorne, was also on set as kind of a consulting director helping me with the directing, and I felt like with his help and with, you know, the crew that we had assembled, I was going to be able to direct it and be in it. And there was no question I was going to be in it because I'm an actress first and everything else second.
What was it like trying to juggle all those aspects?
Yeah, it's not easy. It's definitely hard. It's just I don't know. It's hard. And it's something that, like, unless you're, I don't know how you would do it with a feature, but with a short, it's a lot, I think, more manageable. Although I do hope to direct and star in a feature that I wrote soon.
Now, what made you want to go the short film route instead of the feature route?
Well, I definitely think that doing a short first is a smart thing to do because it's hard enough. And doing a feature, I can imagine, is only like 10 times as hard. So I think it's a good way to start. And also, you don't need a ton of money. And it's something that's kind of, it's just like a bite-sized version of making a film, which I think is a good training for future work, I guess.
How did you come up with the film's story?
Actually, my boyfriend at the time told me a story about his friend freaking out, getting into his car and like freaking out and like wouldn't talk to him and like wouldn't tell him anything and just was like, no, just go. And I guess something had spooked him, and that story kind of inspired like the idea of this girl, you know, getting in the car and being upset and nobody really knowing why. And then I kind of just added that addiction element, and that's how it happened. And he used to call me Boo, so that's how the name came about.
What made you want to deal with sobriety and addiction with your story?
Well, addiction in general has been an issue in my life and in people's lives close to me. So, I felt like it was a real issue that I wanted to kind of shine a light on, but I wanted to do it in a way that wasn't like lecturing to anybody or making it some kind of big dramatic thing. And I thought if I did it with horror, it would make it a little bit more fun.
Now, one of the things that I really liked about this film was the twist. What was the writing process like?
Actually, this script got written very quickly. It just kind of came out of me. It was weird. I did meet with a friend at one point when I was writing it, who sat me down and kind of was like, this is good, this is good, maybe you should try this, kind of a thing. And I definitely got a lot of feedback from other writers. I really think that short films should have some kind of a twist, because it's just such a little snippet of information that you want to give some kind of payoff. Especially since both of my shorts are on the longer side. Yeah. Boo is 15 minutes and Jax is 20. So, if you're going to watch a short film for that long, like, I want to give you a good, fun, twisty ending.
Most of this film takes place in a car. What made you want to set the story, for the most part, inside a car?
What's funny is that after I made Jackson Love, which takes place also a lot in the car, I said I'm never going to make another movie in a moving car because it's really difficult to shoot. But this one ended up in a moving car. I think because of the story that it was inspired by happened in a car. And so I just kind of went from there, and that's kind of how it ended up being.
What was it like shooting those scenes with you and actor Josh Kelly?
Oh, I love Josh. Josh Kelly is not only a super talented actor, he's also just like the nicest person. And we were running a pretty low budget, small set in comparison to what he's used to working on. And he was so nice and patient and giving as an actor and also giving as a person. And he actually helped me figure out like a really kind of messed up, it could have been a bad continuity problem that he noticed that nobody else noticed, including myself. And if it weren't for him noticing, I don't know, we would have had a lot of mistakes. And he even like would help, you know, he jumped out and was helping us with the equipment when we needed help because we were running late. And he's just an all around great person.
What was in the casting process? What was it like finding Josh Kelly in the other film's male lead?
Well, actually, I was referred to him by Parisa, who plays Ava in the film. She's the one in the beanie, and she plays the lesbian girl that she's talking to in the beginning. And they had worked on a show on NBC called Midnight Texas. And so when I was looking for someone to play the boyfriend, I asked her if she knew anyone like fantastic, and she suggested Josh. And I was like, if he wants to do it, like, I would love that. That would be like amazing. And so, that's how I found him. And then as far as Michael, who plays the guy, the kind of creepy guy, I saw him in a short last year called Amy's in the Freezer that was directed by Vanita Ozols-Graham. And when I saw him, I was like, that's the guy. That's the guy that I need in my film. And so I had her refer me to him.
Now, one of the things I noticed, the way you dressed in the film, it looked like you dressed like Little Red Riding Hood. Was that ever the intention for the costume of the character?
You know, I think subconsciously it was, because it really wasn't like a clear, it wasn't something that I intended to do. It was more about, I was just trying to find something good to wear, and then I wanted her to be wearing a hoodie, because I wanted her to be kind of low key and not like this, like, too pretty girl, you know what I mean? She was just going to be like a normal person. But with the colors and everything, it kind of ended up a little Little Red Riding Hood. And I like it because it's very similar. It's this idea of like that she's possibly in danger, but the twist kind of proves that maybe she isn't.
What were some challenges you faced while shooting the film?
There were lots of challenges. One was that we were shooting 3 overnights. So we started at 6 p.m. and ended at 6 a.m. Shooting every day. So that was hard on everybody and the crew. And also, working with a very, very, very minimal budget and everybody taking a lot less money than they deserve, or sometimes no money for some people. It was a very tiring, exhausting weekend, but it was actually a really fun time. And I think that, we all kind of came together to deal with. We had some equipment issues, like, you know, the normal stuff, I think, but we got through it. So it wasn't too bad.
What was the most difficult scene that you had to shoot in the film?
The most difficult scene was there's probably 2, but I think mainly it was everything that was in the moving car with me and Josh was hard because we were shooting on streets in Gardena, California, and we didn't have like a process trailer to shoot it properly. So we were shooting with like hostess trays on the side of the car. And so you've got noise issues and you've got bumpy road issues, and the camera kept stabilizing itself. So it was being weird and we didn't have a lot of time, and Josh had to actually drive and act, which is a harder thing to do than you would think. And then of course the very last scene of the movie where there's a lot of makeup involved. It took 6 hours to put on the makeup, and it was very uncomfortable makeup and contacts and all sorts of stuff. So it was a hard scene too, because it was just uncomfortable and painful scene to do.
Now, you mentioned you shot the scenes with Josh Kelly in a moving car. How did you pull off those scenes?
I don't really know, because we shot them like so early, like late in the night but early in the morning, so to speak. We just kept running the scenes over and over again and hoping that something was captured in the end. It was like a miracle. I don't know. It was pure miracle. And also obviously my DP and the crew that we were using, working really hard to try to capture it as best as possible and light it as best as possible.
Well, you and your crew did something right, apparently, with that.
Yeah, we had to, I mean, my editor saved a lot of that scene too, Ned, because, you know, we had to cut around a lot of it because some of the footage wasn't good because of the camera kind of self-stabilizing and stuff, so that part was difficult, but we found what we needed, so it worked out okay.
What has the reception been like for this film, considering this is played at many film festivals and won a lot of awards?
It seems like everybody really loves it, which is awesome, and I've gotten a lot of good feedback. Obviously, the awards are great feedback, but more importantly, like, just the people that have seen it coming up to me to tell me they liked it. I've even had a few people who are in, like, addiction recovery or have been sober for a long time that came up to me and told me that it meant a lot to them that this film was about addiction, and they felt like it was really done in the right way and that we really kind of showed what it's like to struggle as an addict, no matter what you're addicted to. So that meant a lot to me as well.
Now, are there any upcoming screenings for Boo?
There are. There's one at the end of the month. There's 2 screenings at Nevermore Film Festival in North Carolina on February 28th at 2 p.m. and February 29th at 7. And then it's playing at the Ocean City Film Festival March 7th at 8:30 p.m. And then it's playing at Pasadena International Film Festival on March 14th at 10:25 p.m. And then it's playing in LA at Les Femmes Underground Film Festival on March 21st at 5:30 p.m. And lastly, as of now, it's also playing at Hot Springs International Women's Film Festival in Arkansas. I don't have a screening time yet for that. And we have a couple more festivals that are coming up that we can't announce yet, but that, so we have a few coming up still.
Is there any chance that this film will end up on the web anytime soon?
Not anytime super soon. I'm kind of waiting for it to finish the circuit for a few more months. I do know that it will probably be on Altar soon. They've already told us that they want it. It's just a matter of when we can release it online. And so I would say by the end of the year, for sure.
Now, besides the screenings, do you have any upcoming projects in the works?
Well, I'm writing a feature. It's a horror feature that's like a ghost possession story called New Mom. And hopefully by the end of the year, that'll be ready to go, at least by the end of the year. And I am waiting to hear about a part in a short that I really want to do. That I have nothing to do with making, but that I'm hoping to star in. And other than that, I'm just like open to opportunities to act and direct in other people's stuff.
Well, I want to thank you, Ray Fett, for coming on to my podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
No problem, and have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
Hey guys, this is Steven Christina. I'm the founder, owner, creator, and host of Super Retro Throwback Reviews. Are you looking for the best movie reviews, music reviews, video game reviews, and Comic-Con coverage all around? Well, then look no further. Definitely check out Super Retro Throwback Reviews on YouTube and our new audio podcast, the new and improved Super Retro Throwback Reviews Audio Files version 2.0 on the following media distributors: Podbean, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, and Spotify.
Class is over, John! Now for something new and improved!
Welcome back. I'm here with actress Sarah Scoops, if I got it right.
It's jokes, but that's fine. Nobody gets it right.
She's an actress that's currently in two films, Teresa and Allison, which you can find on Amazon Prime. And she's also in The Theater of Terror, which hits DVD nationwide this month. And it's available on theaterofterror.net as well. How are you doing today, Sarah?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. First question, how did you get into acting?
Well, I tried out for everything else in high school, and I sucked at everything, basketball, dance, softball, everything. And then I auditioned for my very first theater show, and it's the one thing that I absolutely excelled at and loved. So then I jumped in head first. I like Thespian Society Shakespeare competitions and just went from there and yeah, just hit the ground running. So.
What drew you to the horror genre? Most of your films are horror.
That is true. Horror kind of found me, actually. I ended up getting cast in the movie Gut, written and directed by Elias, and that kind of snowballed into many other films, and I realized that the indie horror community, specifically in New York City, is one of the best communities that exist. It's amazing, and every actor and actress should do a horror movie and realize how wonderful these people are.
Since this is Women in Horror Month, who are some of your favorite current or past women of horror?
Oh, gosh. Tristan Risk, who I've actually worked with. She's an absolute gem. And she's in American Mary as the Betty Boop character. And she's spectacular. I had the joy of working with her on Ayla. And she has this crazy following on Instagram, and she loves snakes, and she was brilliant in Ayla. She had zero lines, and she was just utterly fascinating and drew you in. So I'm a fan of hers. So.
You had a new film that recently came on Amazon Prime a couple of months ago called Teresa and Allison. Now, the film was one of my favorite horror films of 2019. Tell me about the film and your character.
Oh, well, first of all, thank you. That's really sweet. This film, Teresa and Allison, it's, if you know Moulin Rouge, it's basically like the song Cell Block Tango, in terms of horror, with a bunch of crazy, feisty, some angry, some violent women. All of them have extremely vibrant characters and a story to tell. So my character, Allison, she is one of the more feisty and irreverent characters, and she stumbles across Teresa, who is a new vampire, and I decide to show her the ropes. Whether or not I'm leading her in the best direction or not, that's, you know, for the viewer to decide. So,
were you a fan of the whole vampire subgenre before going into this film?
I mean, I've definitely seen vampire movies, good and bad, but I wasn't a fan of the sparkles and stuff like that. The most recent, and when Charles and Jeremiah brought me in, they confirmed that there was no sparkles to be had, and I was like, okay, I'm game. Let's do this.
Trust me, I'm not a Twilight fan either.
Yeah.
It pretty much set the vampire subgenre back.
Well, and I think that that's one of the things that this movie did, was it brought it back to, like, gritty New York City. It's a vampire movie, but it's not necessarily about, it's not all just vampire. Like, all of the characters are just real, genuine characters that happen to be vampires. And everyone has a story, everyone has a background, and so.
How did you become involved with the film?
I had been running around similar circles with Jeremiah Kipp, and he directed the movie, and he brought me in to audition for it. And I know that I had wanted to work with Jeremiah for a very long time, so I walked into this audition the most prepared I've ever been for an audition. And Charles said that he knew within the first, 5 minutes of my reading that he wanted to cast me as Allison. So,
what drew you to the character of Allison?
Oh, I mean, she's wonderful, amazing, and one of the most awful characters. So, like, the most fun thing to play about her is that she's a terrible, terrible, I mean, she was a terrible human being before she became a vampire, and she's kind of terrible, as a vampire, but she doesn't believe she's terrible at all. She believes that every choice she makes is, totally okay and rational, and she's doing what she needs to do to survive, stay alive, and I think she's not even looking at surviving. She's more looking, her entire purpose in life is to enjoy her existence, and now she's going to enjoy eternity, and who cares who she runs over doing it.
What were your first thoughts when you read the script, given the gothic and erotic themes the screenplay had?
I am no stranger to sex scenes in movies. in horror, there's a lot of those. And so that didn't freak me out, though it was pretty involved. Chris Bai, who is a cinematographer, we all touched base after, before filming some of those scenes, and are like, okay, what's shot, how is it going to look, da da da, and we kind of powwowed with that, and I felt 100% comfortable with Jeremiah and Chris going into filming those scenes, and I was just really excited because once I saw the final cut, I was thrilled. I thought they did a great job because, really, those scenes were more of their magician work. I was just covered in blood and making out with Ariel.
Now, one of the things I liked about your performance was it had a creepy and 70s vibe to it. What are some things that influenced the way you portrayed your character in the film?
Oh, that's a good question, actually. I don't know. I mean, because I don't feel like there's any characters specifically that I could think of off the top of my head. I'm sure if I researched it, I could definitely come up with a million. But I had played a succubus in a previous movie called Peepers, and she was just as irreverent. And she also killed a lot of people and cared zero about it. And so I basically kind of took that character and kind of switched it over to where it became a way more like free spirited hippie vibe. And, yeah, I apologize. It's my cat.
No problem. What were some of the challenges playing a vampire compared to some of your other roles that you played in past films?
Well, I've definitely been covered in blood head to toe quite a bit. So that was, I actually was one of the few people that didn't do the teeth, so I didn't have to deal with that. And I have actually had the vampire teeth before, and that is a challenge. Anyone who has to actually do the vampire teeth, that the struggle is real with that. I know that there were some long days of being covered in blood, and the blood was very sticky. And so at points, when me and Ariel would be working together covered in blood, sometimes it almost felt like our skin was going to rip off with the blood, because like it was like Velcro. It was so sticky, and we would like rip our hands apart and we'd be like, oh, yeah. So, sticky blood, I guess.
Speaking of the blood effects, what was it like working with it, and what was the process to make you and your co-star Ariel Hope all bloody?
So there was this one scene specifically where I rip a chunk out of a poor girl's leg, so I have to rip out a chunk of her leg and then have blood just streaming down my face. And I pull the chunk out of my mouth and just like toss it and then start making out with Ariel. So the blood that was in our mouth was actually Hershey syrup. And, but then the chunk of meat was roast beef from a deli. And so I literally had like Hershey syrup with roast beef in my mouth. I'm a vegetarian, so it wasn't great. And I was like, I would have to take it and pull it out. And then I'm not exactly sure what the rest of the blood was. You should definitely interview Beatrice Sniper, because she was killer on this movie specifically. But there was some other rest of the body blood that we had that was very, very sticky and... But no, it was fun. I was dyed pink the entire next day because I'm very white. So
now, what was it like shooting the scene all covered in blood?
I mean, I guess I don't know. I'm just used to it. I spent an entire day filming Gut, where like I was laying in a pool of my own blood. So this was more, I mean, like the bed looked like a tragedy afterwards, but, yeah. And I mean, of course they had to keep adding more blood, spraying stuff like that. But, yeah, it was good times. Something I'm used to.
What was it like shooting the exterior scenes in New York?
Awful. The reason was is because, I mean, this winter has been very mild. It was not mild when we were shooting Teresa and Allison, and it seemed like every sub-zero temperature day was the night that we shot outdoors overnight. And it was brutal. I had the luck of shooting an outdoor short with Jeremiah the day before, and so I kind of realized how awful it was going to be. So I ran to my friend who, the coat I'm wearing in the scene is actually one of my best girlfriends in New York. That coat saved my life. Poor Ariel had this like little faux leather thing on. She had a midriff shirt on and she was turning purple. There's certain parts in the movie where you actually can kind of hear the shiver in her voice. It maybe works for the film because she comes off as being a little bit like nervous or whatever, but she was freezing her ass off. She was so cool. And every time we'd cut, I would wrap the coat around her and we would both just like huddle. And then we sat in the car and stayed warm in the car from time to time. But it like filming the exterior shots for this movie was one like it was brutal and probably one of the most difficult shooting nights that I've ever had.
There's a scene when you first appeared in the film where you can literally see the wind blowing at both you and Ariel. What was it like filming that scene? That had to be so difficult to film.
Oh yeah, with that, yes, that was super annoying, especially with my hair that works like Velcro when it it blows and it attaches to each other. So you can constantly see me pushing my hair back. And like some of those takes were like four or five takes in, or maybe even who knows how many takes in. And, all I kept thinking about is like the camera can't see my face, because my hair is just like literally like wrapped around my face. And so I'm trying to think, and that was a very involved take too, because we were walking, the camera was following us. We're trying to hit our marks for focus, and we're also trying to remember our lines while freezing our asses off. And then my hair is constantly blowing in my face, so I keep trying to make sure that the camera can see my face while I'm talking. And so I appreciate that you even noticed that, because I feel like most people just think it's a totally normal thing that happens when you're walking on a windy pier. But no, that was a real struggle, actually.
What was it like shooting the scenes between you and Ariel Hope?
I adore Ariel. I mean, she's magical. I think that this is her first feature film, and I think she absolutely killed it. And the fact that she pretty much was, I mean, the movie's called Therese and Allison, but she carried this film. It was all her. I was in it, but like she was the one that was in the majority of the film. And I think that she did a spectacular job, because it's genuinely terrifying when you are on film for the first time and people unless you've been there, you have done it, you don't understand what it's like to be shooting a movie to where an entire room of people who just want to hear the words moving on and going on to the next scene. And if you keep fucking it up, then these people are stuck here longer and longer and longer. And it's a very stressful situation, especially if it's your first time on set. So she absolutely killed it. And I'm really proud of her, and I really hope to work with her again.
What was it like working with the film's director, Jeremiah Kipp?
Oh, I love Mr. Kipp. I think he's really... he's one of the biggest talents in the indie horror community. Any actor is lucky to work with him. He's an actor's director. I've said this before. He knows how I feel. He sees you, he hears you, he protects you, but he's also really, really good to the crew. He's such a collaborative director. I don't know. Like, everything he does is good. So he's really, really great, and I recommend everyone checking out everything he's ever done. So
what was it like to also work alongside Charles Lincoln, who co-stars and wrote the film screenplay?
Charles is lovely. Charles is a character. He has this incredible universe that he has created, and there's many more things coming down the pipeline with Charles. His brain never stops. And the fact that, and I told this to him, the thing that's so impressive that he wrote so many incredible female roles as a man, I was like, that's I mean, every single, and the fact is that he wrote a movie where the only male role, which was his, no female revolved around that male role. He was just a part of the movie, which I really, really loved. And he just created these really great, characters with so many different levels. I had a really great time with him. And he learned the craziness of producing, his first feature film. And he knows now how shitty it can be. But now he's been throwing out a ton of other work, and he's doing lots of great things. I think he's working on a prequel. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that I just did. So, yeah.
What was the most challenging scene that you filmed?
In Teresa Nelson?
Yes.
I would definitely say the outdoor scenes because of how disgustingly cold it was outside. There was also another time when we were shooting this one scene and this guy's like, you can't film here. We charged. And it was literally the last take. We had one more take to go. And we'd all frozen our asses off and poor Ariel was about to die. And we had one more take with the same exterior, and this guy's like, you can't film here. And so we waited around the corner. We all grabbed a beer. We hung out for a second, and then we literally, like, guerrilla styled it. And we're like, go, 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 go. And we're like, and Jeremiah's like, don't cut. Just go back to one. Go back to one. Go back to one. And, like, we just, like, got it and ran. And so we all thought we were going to die that night because it was so cold. But, yeah, that was difficult. So
that must have been crazy to shoot as well.
It was crazy because, like, I mean, and like as an actor, you're like, oh, I want to focus on my acting, my choices and stuff like this. But at this point, it was just like, just do it, get it done. And I honestly don't even remember what scene it was at this point. I wish I could tell you because I'm trying to think of what it was. I just remember that like I was like almost blanking out at this point because it was so cold. And it wasn't, I mean, everyone was cold. Like, you know, the cinematographer, director, producer, everyone was just freezing their asses off. We just wanted to be done. And we thought that everything we had just suffered for the entire night was ruined. And so we're like, no, we're going to make this work. Indie film, baby.
What was your favorite scene that you filmed?
I really enjoyed I liked the conversation that me and Ariel had. I don't know, is it prior to? It's been a while since I've actually seen the movie. I think it's prior to the actual. Oh wait, no, I have another one. Actually, sorry. This is one of my best girlfriends. There was an actor that dropped out, and I don't know if you remember the goth girl. So she's my best girlfriend, Victoria Hemper, and she's a doll. Never done a movie before in her life. She got pulled in very last minute because we had another actor drop out. And that was a joy to watch her, like, nail this scene in front of an entire room of cast, crew, extras. And she was nervous as all hell. And she was saying all this crazy, like ridiculous stuff that, like, she's this really sweet Catholic girl. And she, like, she's saying all this stuff that she has no idea what she's talking about. And she struggled a couple of times, but she absolutely nailed it. And there's a couple of times where when you see the cuts back to me, you can kind of see me, like, grinning at her, like, and that was really sweet. That was a really fun moment to have during the film.
Yes, I really thought that character also was one of those steel-seeming moments, too, the way she delivers the dialogue.
I will happily put you in contact with her if you want to interview her because she's an absolute doll. And she was, yeah, she's spectacular. So
now, do you know if this film is going to get a DVD release? I know it's on VOD.
Yeah, no, it's on demand. I have no idea about a DVD release. I'd have to talk to Charles about that.
Okay, this switch films now to another film that's about to get a nationwide DVD release this month, The Theater of Terror.
Yay!
Tell everyone about the film in the segment, The Bookworm, in which you star in.
Let's see. I play a character named Lara, who is... I meet Scott. Oh my gosh, I'm forgetting Scott's actual character name, but I meet him in the library, or I stumble into his library, which he had just recently purchased from his receiving money from his dad passing away. And I can't tell you much more because it is a short, so, Right? Yeah.
I think it was like around 15, 20 minutes at least.
Right. Exactly. And, but it's really spectacular. I had a career as also working as a figure model. So the artwork that is in there of me, which out of context, you don't really know what it's about, but that's an actual piece of art that had been drawn of me at one point previous to this, movie. And, Tom was like, hey, I need a drawing of you. And I was like, oh, hey, I have like hundreds. So here you go. And so, but the entire anthology is incredible. And I think he's adding on to it. He's doing some more, which I'm not totally killer on because I'm not involved in any of the newer shorts. But the four that he did were pretty spectacular. So...
Now, how did you become involved with that film?
Also through Jeremiah Kipp, even though Jeremiah did not direct this, Tom Ryan did, but I met Tom through, Black Wake. I met Tom through Black Wake. And then Tom also, because the indie horror community in New York specifically is so tight and so amazing that we all kind of know each other throughout different like events, festivals, whatever. So I've been around Tom and hung out with him for a while prior to working with him like in this fashion. But he reached out to me, said, hey, I have this role. Would you be interested? And I was like 100% a million yes. And so, and that's kind of how I fell into this amazing group of movies.
Now, what drew you to The Bookworm?
It's fascinating. It's a very unique concept. Nothing I've ever done in any previous movie. I love the characters, I love the actors, and I love Tom.
Did you know at the time that this was going to be a part of an anthology film?
I had a feeling it was going to do really well. And I have to give credit to Tom also because he's killed it in terms of his hustle. He's promoted it relentlessly. And he's been at every event, every festival, everywhere with tables, like just meeting people, like, yeah. And so a lot of credit goes to him in terms of, like, the writing, the directing, but also just the mad hustle that he has presented, which I feel like I could learn from, so.
What was it like shooting at the library? As I rarely see the main interior of a film shot in a library.
The library is actually, that was a stunning library. And everything, we didn't have to do anything for the exterior. It was like, it's just that beautiful of a library. It was interesting because the library was open when we were shooting there. So there would be times when, I mean, Scott was doing the majority of the work. I would just come in from time to time and like rub goo on him and stuff. But like otherwise, like I was just like chilling in the magazine section of the library. And there would be like people saying, looking for stuff, and I'd be like, oh, the newspapers are there, the magazines are there, so I kind of became like an impromptu employee, just like directing library patrons and helping them out, and otherwise just napping in a really comfy chair, but that was pretty much it.
How was the library receptive to the shooting of the film?
They were incredible. They were really... such a sweet, sweet, sweet staff on hand that was there. And they were just utterly thrilled to be having a movie shot there, which was so sweet. And they even hosted the first screening of the Theater of Terror, or the Bookworm. I don't know if it was the Bookworm. No, I think it was the entire Theater of Terror. And they were just like clapping, and it was just such a joy to work with everyone there on staff. Yeah.
What was the shooting schedule like? Because you would have to figure the library was open during shooting.
I mean, for I can't really speak to other days, but I shot when they were open the entire time. So, I mean, there was points towards the end of the night where it was like, they were closed just because shooting days always go late. So, like, we shot through when they were open to where when they closed late into the night when Scott, because we couldn't do any of the goo stuff. Which, again, you have to watch the movie to fully understand the goo. But that had to be after hours. A lot of the stuff he shot when he was, like, going through the aisles and stuff like that and reading to... That was all daytime during operating hours, so.
One thing that made I thought the short story work so well was the chemistry between you and Scott. What was it like working with him?
I adore Scott. I think he's an incredible actor. He's very easy to work with, and he's just a joy. And he's super natural and so versatile, actually, having seen some of his other recent films come out. He's been doing quite well and working a lot. And so, it was an absolute joy, and everyone should hire him.
Now, what was it like working with the man behind the Theater of Terror, Tom Ryan?
Oh, my God. He's a joy. He's so, like, so again, like, first when I met him, he was getting his head exploded in black wig. And, like, I don't know. We've just always seen each other. I met him, or what, maybe I met him, oh wait, maybe I met him before, I can't remember, but like also there was a screening of Phobia where I met him, and he's just so happy to be doing what he's doing. He's just, like, he's living his best life, and you can tell while he's directing it. He's so happy, and he's surrounded by all of his colleagues, his friends, the people that he admires and the people who admire him. And it's just, he's a good guy, and I really enjoyed working with him.
What was your favorite moment on set of The Bookworm?
Oh, gosh. I would say, it was so absurd. I mean, Scott really took one for the team with all the goo. Again, you got to watch the movie to see it. But it's funny just, like, rubbing the goo on him, and they're like, more goo, more goo. And you're just, like, watching him be like, ah! But not be able to be like, he couldn't react, but I knew he wanted to. So... Yeah, so it was funny because, like, every time they say cut, we would just be laughing. It was, that's the beautiful thing about horror, is it's really dark, really crazy, really creepy, but at the same time, you also are laughing your asses off the second they say cut because it's so absurd. Like, and behind the scenes, it's absurd. So,
what upcoming films that you have on the horizon? And what films are scheduled to be released?
So I am currently, I have one more shoot date of Sam Silver Medal. I think that's the correct. It's on IMDb, Sam Silver Medal. That's a feature that I've been working on for a while now, and it's really dark, crazy, messed up. It's a trippy, trippy, trippy movie, but I'm really excited about it. We have Lloyd Kaufman on it, who's brilliant. We have, I was able to do a brilliant scene with him on. He's hilarious. And then we have one more shoot date on Cameo. Cameo is a really great short film that's going to be amazing, and I cannot wait for everyone to see it. And it's about me spiraling into a psychotic episode, if you will, or not. Who knows? It's one of those amazing films that is I'm really excited about that one to come out. And that one, I was listening to your previous episode about shooting on an iPad, and they shot the majority of this on an iPhone. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing what you can do with technology.
Just like what that director said, the same thing Ryan said, is that it frees you up to do so many more shots that you wouldn't necessarily be. They literally had one shot above a ceiling fan to where the ceiling fan was going, and you can see the shot underneath with the ceiling fan. It's spectacular. It's going to be a really, really good movie. I'm super excited. So,
where can they find you on social media?
Oh, they can find me on social media. Twitter is Skippy Schoffs, SKIPPYSCHOOFS. Facebook is facebook.com/SarahTheActor. And then Instagram is Sarah Schoffs, SARIHSCHOOFS.
Well, I want to thank you, Sarah, for coming on to the podcast, and have a good day.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
For the latest news and information on Anthony T's Horror Show, you can check out Anthony T's Horror Show on social media platforms at Anthony T's Horror Show on Facebook, Instagram, and the Slasher app at Anthony T's Horror on Twitter. Anthony T's Horror Show can be found on YouTube as well. YouTube.com/AnthonyTherber. You can find Doc Discussions on the web at www.docdiscussions.com. And you can find Anthony T's Horror Show on the web at AnthonyT'sHorrorShow.blogspot.com. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed Women in Horror Month. I apologize for not getting to 3 episodes, but I figured I'd do an interview-only episode to make up for the fact that there's not 3 episodes this month. Now, before I end this program, I want to talk about something that I was supposed to talk about last episode, but I was kind of really fed up with a certain topic that I did not get to last episode, which I'll get to right now. And it's the trailer for the Saw reboot, Spiral, from the Book of Saw. Now, this trailer I was very interested in seeing because, well, I was really kind of interested in seeing how Spiral is going to look, considering it's being executed and produced by Chris Rock, who is also starring in the film. The film also stars Samuel L. Jackson. That also hyped up my interests in Spiral. And the first trailer for the film finally came out. My thoughts, this may be a film that could be up there with the original Saw and Saw 2 or Saw 6 as a very good Saw sequel. I really liked how this trailer looked. It had a very gritty tone. It had a David Fincher 7 vibe to it, which I really liked, and really makes this film look very interesting, because the last Saw film, Jigsaw, really felt like the paint in the numbers procedural horror film. It really didn't do anything for me. It was an okay film, but it's not something I'll write about as one of the best Saw films. It would probably be towards the bottom of the list of Saw films. But I really cannot wait for Spiral from the Book of Saw. It's being directed by Darren Lynn Brosman, who directed Saw 2, 3, and 4. And directed the terrible St. Agatha from last year. This looks like a return to form for him. As I really think he's very comfortable directing films that are really dark, very disturbing looking films. As St. Agatha really was just a very boring film. It really felt more like a drama than a horror film, quite frankly. It had more of a dramatic vibe than a horrific vibe. That's probably one of the reasons why I hated this film so much. But I'm really excited for Spiral from the Book of Saw. This may literally be one of the best Saw films of the franchise. I still have to take this with caution because it's only a trailer. But it really looks good. If there was only one complaint I had with this trailer, it gives away one of Samuel L. Jackson's best one-liners ever. I wish they could save that for the film, but as I'm very excited for Spiral from the Book of Saw, which comes out in May, I'm really hoping this is a much better film than Jigsaw, because Jigsaw literally felt like more like a typical procedural film that goes through the motions. Spiral, thankfully, does not look like it's going to be like Jigsaw, which is a very good thing. It's going to be very interesting to see if Spiral from the Book of Saw can really revitalize the Saw franchise. I'm hoping it does, seriously. Because I'm a big fan of the Saw franchise. There's only been literally maybe one film which was really bad, and that was Saw 5, obviously. That was literally a waste of my money. But I'm really hoping that Spiral from the Book of Saw really brings the Saw franchise back into the horror forefront. With that, I want to thank you for listening to my podcast. Have a good day and support indie horror.